The elders have asked me to take some time to talk about how we as a group of believers become and work like a community of believers, not just a group of individuals, but how we work together as a community of God's people here in this place. So we're going to do that this morning. We're going to think about some biblical information, and then we'll try to talk about what this means in real practical terms as we try to be a community of believers. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, the apostle talks about at some length the advantages of community, the design that God has for us. He says in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, beginning in verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in the fullness of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not. For he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke, to encourage, to love, and to good works. There is a sense in which we are individually the recipients of God's great blessing of salvation. Individually, our hearts have been sprinkled from an evil conscience. Individually, our bodies have been washed with pure water. We went through baptism and we did it individually. We didn't do it as a group. It wasn't as if we got to stand making a confession of God before men as a family. We did that individually. But individually, having done that, we blend together in a community for the purpose of provoking each other, encouraging each other to love and to good works. God has a plan for us, and we need to recognize that plan. In John, the 17th chapter, this is probably what I would refer to as the Lord's Prayer. It's the prayer that Jesus prayed for himself shortly before he was to be crucified. We talk about the way that he taught the disciples to pray, and we say that's the Lord's Prayer. That was a prayer that he was praying to teach his disciples how to pray. That's Matthew 5. This is Jesus praying. John, the 17th chapter, Jesus says, neither do I pray only for these, or let me read that the way it's written in the new, in the American Standard. Neither for these only do I pray. And he's talking about his apostles, the ones that were there with him. In fact, those that were closest to him. But he says, for them also that believe on me through their word, that they may be one. Even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us. Think about how close that relationship was. Jesus and his Father were like one. And even though Jesus and his Father were individuals, they function in a community. And he says, he wants us to be like they were, so that the world may believe that thou didst send me. We're going to impact the world when we behave this way. The glory that thou hast given me, I have given unto them, that they may be one, even as we are one. This is how important it is. I and them, thou and me, that they may be perfected into one, that the world may know that thou didst send me and lovest them even as thou lovest me. Boy, that's a hard word to say. We need each other. We need to be one community of believers. Saul recognized that. He had been a persecutor of Christians. He had done everything he could to put them into prison. He had stood by when Stephen was stoned because of his belief in God. He was converted. Individually, he was converted. Ananias came to him. He said, "Saul, Saul, you need to arise and be baptized." When Jesus appeared to Paul or to Saul on the way, he didn't say, "Saul, why have you been a part of this group that's been persecuting me?" He said, "Saul, why did you persecute me?" And you know what? Saul was converted. He came to Jerusalem. He'd left there. He was going to imprison Christians. He's converted on the way. So he spent some time away from Jerusalem in the company of believers where he was converted. But then he says he came to Jerusalem and he essayed to join himself to the disciples. They were afraid of him. They didn't believe he was a disciple. I understand that. I probably would have responded the same way. You know, the reason why Paul thought it was so important to join himself to the disciples? He said, "None of us lives to himself. No man dies to himself. We are a part of community." Paul knew how important that was. In the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, you see how this community exists, not just in a church as a whole. That's what Paul was trying to join himself to when he came to Jerusalem. He wanted to be a part of that church as a whole. But you know, this idea of community doesn't exist just in terms of the entirety of the church. It exists in something that's described as a company. In Acts, the fourth chapter, at verse 22, if you read from the American Standard Translation, this is what you will read. Peter, some of the rest of the apostles, have been brutally treated by the Sanhedrin. They've been told, "You can't preach anymore. You can't talk about Jesus anymore." Well, Peter's not going to agree to that. You know that he's not going to agree to that. So the Sanhedrin eventually lets him go. First thing he did was he came to his own company. Probably not the entirety of the church. He came to the company, the people that were close to him. And he reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. This word company, if you look that word up by its Greek origin, what you'll find out is this was the same word that was used to describe, well, for instance, the apostles as a separate group from that big group that was following Jesus everywhere he went. He also had his company. He had the big group. Yes, that's true. They were community. And he also had his apostles. They were his company. And you know what? It's a word that's used to describe, even among the apostles, the people that were closest to Jesus. Peter, James, and John. Remember the three apostles that were a part of so many events in Jesus' life? All of the apostles didn't go to the transfiguration. Only his company. And Jesus knows how important it is that we are a community, whether it's the church or it's our company. Interesting word. In Acts, the 19th chapter, beginning at verse 7, you see something very important happening with those people that were disciples in Ephesus. This is the way it reads, beginning in verse 7. All of the men that they were with at that particular point were about 12. He went into the synagogue, that's Paul, and he spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. When divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them, and he separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Paul understood that we need to gather around us those people who are as committed to God as we are. And standing together, we become stronger. I'm always impressed with Paul. If there was anybody who I think could have by himself withstood all of the outrageous persecution that was going to come to him, who could have by himself resisted Satan, it would have been the Apostle Paul. I can think of no one stronger. I can think of no one with the fortitude that this man showed. But this is the way the record reads in 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. Paul says, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. But I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus, my brother. Taking leave of them, I went on from thence into Macedonia. This man, this great man of incredible strength, needed to find his friend Titus. He wasn't going to go it alone. Now, there are a lot of things that can interfere with the way that we want to be community. You see, one of them described in Galatians, the second chapter. This is a story about Peter and how in the midst of the church, he created a barrier to community. It says in Galatians 2 at verse 12, before certain came from James, some of the Jews who had come from Jerusalem, he did eat with the Gentiles. When they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. He decided he didn't want to be a part of community with everybody. That's a barrier. You know, we feel that way too. This is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 at verse 20. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Oh, they were participating in the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, but he said, that's not what you're doing. You're just using the elements, but you're not doing the Lord's Supper. He says, in eating, everyone takes before another his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and drink in, or do you despise the church of God? Do you despise community? Shame them that have not. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. James, the second chapter, beginning at verse 1. James describes another barrier to community. My brethren, hold not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. In other words, there are two things that will not go together. They can't go together. You can't have the faith of Jesus Christ and respect of persons. Those are two things that are mutually exclusive. He says, hold not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. If there come into your synagogue a man with a gold ring in fine clothing, and there come in also a poor man in vile clothing, and you have regard to him that weareth the fine clothing, and say, sit thou here in a good place, and you say to the poor man, stand thou there, or sit under my footstool. Do you not make distinctions even among yourselves? That's not community. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. He says, some people just don't want to be a part of community. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, or as the custom of some is, but exhort one another. And those are all barriers. We understand them. You can have groups of individuals without having community. And you've all been there, no doubt. Everybody's wearing a mask. Nobody is being real. Nobody is revealing themselves. Now, you have a bunch of people who are in the same place. They might even be in the same room, but they are not a community. Have you ever felt like you were left out? The community was over here, and they didn't invite you to join them. Well, it's kind of related to what Peter did. Peter just wouldn't go eat with the Gentiles. That's what Peter did. That was Peter's barrier to community. The Gentiles were feeling as if they had been, in fact, left out. Have you ever felt like you weren't a part of a community? You were just there? Do you ever go to an event where there are so many people and you're standing at the back, looking at the back of everybody's head, and that's it? That's not community. That's a big group. But it's not community. We're not going to be that way. We are going to be a community. That's what the elders want us to do. That's what we need to do. And so this year, one of the things that we'll be talking about, one of the things that the elders want to create is this community here, whether it's the whole church, whether it's a company, Or sometimes maybe it's just you need your Titus, like Paul needed somebody else. The elders are committed to maintaining this community here at Coburg Road. And the elders are going to take steps to try to foster community as it exists here. And they're going to ask every member, every one of us, to do our part in supporting community. The elders are going to continue to recognize that we have individual responsibilities. They don't want anybody to think that we don't have to respond to God individually, that we get to do it only as a part of the community. I've said before, I feel like my chances of making it to heaven are a whole lot better when I get to stand next to Kim. But I know one day I'll have to answer to God on my own. But until that day comes, I'm going to call him my Titus. And I'm going to rely on the people that are around. I need them. We all need each other. We need to exhort and encourage and provoke. That's a big word, isn't it? Provoke one another to love and good works.